Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14 to 16. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 14 to 16. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Underline unequally yoked and underline unbelievers. For what fellowship has Christ has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, now one of the things I want to start off with, of one of the revelations that God gave me starting from the scripture, is the first step to godly prosperity. The first step to godly prosperity is separation. Can everyone say that? The first step to godly prosperity is separation. Say that out.
The first step to godly
is separation. Okay.
Is separation.
Prosperity is separation.
Separation, separation, separation. Now, to understand separation, we have to see what Apostle Paul is writing here. So in verse number 14, he writes two important words that believers don't understand. First is unequally yoked, and second is unbelievers. Now, you might have heard the teachings on unequally yoked. Oxen are yoked together so that they can plow the field. The meaning of unequally yoked is there are two persons under the same yoke, but one is the stronger member and the other is the weaker member. So the weaker member is not having the will of his own, but the desires, the ways, the principles, and the ambitions of the stronger member starts to drive the weaker member. That is what it means, unequally yoked. But I want to give you the meaning of, I was praying about this scripture, because when I was praying for today's meeting, this is what the scripture the Lord gave. Now we have to understand two things from the Holy Spirit. One is, what is unequally yoked? And who are the unbelievers? Now we think that the unbelievers are only categorized as those who don't believe in Christ. No, the unbelievers are also so-called Christians who name themselves as Christ. We have to realize what the Bible is talking. Who are the unbelievers first? Okay. Now, one of the scriptures I want to give you that Apostle Paul talks about in the book of First Corinthians, chapter number 5, First Corinthians, chapter number 5, and let's see. Okay, hold on. First Corinthians, chapter number 5. Verse number 11 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 11 to 13. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, that is a Christian in the church, who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. When I come to what is unequally yoked, I will come to eating with such people. So Apostle Paul is saying, do not have what? Any company with someone who calls himself a Christian, a brother in the church, but is sexually immoral at the same time, covetous, idolater, reviler, drunkard, and extortioner. For what I have to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourself this evil person. So there can be evil and wickedness in so-called Christian people also. So the interpretation of many commentaries and what many Christians believe is Apostle Paul is talking about people who are just unbelievers who don't know Christ and this and that. But that we have to understand who are the unbelievers. Now I will tell you who are the unbelievers. The unbelievers are categorized into three categories. The three categories are the same traits, are the same people, are the same traits and the qualities of the same kind of people, but they are categorized into three different categories. All right, the unbelievers are categorized into three categories. First is ungodly, second is sinner, and third are the scornful. First is the ungodly, second are the sinners, and third are the scornful. Now, these three kind of people are the unbelievers. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalm chapter number 1. Verse number 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Then he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So what is the first step to prosperity here? The first step to prosperity is not starting to study the Bible. The first step to prosperity is sanctifying and consecrating your life through separation. Because the man who is called blessed does not start meditating on the word. Before he starts meditating on the word, he consecrates himself through separation. Are we together? And what kind of separation? There are three classes of people that the Bible talks about. The ungodly, the sinners, and the scornful. These three kind of people are the unbelievers that Apostle Paul is talking about in the book of Corinthians, to the church of Corinthians, that you should not be unequally yoked. Are we now understanding? Now who are... Okay, before going to unequally yoked, what is the meaning? What are these three people? Ungodly, sinners, and scornful. Remember, these are the unbelievers. Hallelujah. The ungodly people are those who worship and sacrifice to other gods and follow their doctrines. That is the ungodly people. What? The ungodly people are those who worship and sacrifice to other gods and follow their doctrine. Who are the sinners now here? The sinners are those who practice things contrary to God's word. Now, listen to me. You might say, you know what? Oh, brother, you know what? We all are sinners. We all have fallen short of glory. Well, you were a sinner, but you cannot continue to be a sinner after you received Christ. Because the Bible clearly says the idolaters, the blasphemers, the boasters, the sinners, the adulterers, the thieves, shall have no part in the kingdom of God. They shall never enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Now, let me define who are sinners. Sinners are those who practice things contrary to God's word, even after knowing the truth, and profess it to be good and true rather than evil. Hallelujah. Are we together here? Sinners are those people who practice things contrary to God's word, even after knowing the truth. And on top of that, they confess and profess that what we are doing is right. Hallelujah. Those class of people can be found in the church, that they will practice things, they will do things, and they will not say, oh, you know, I am not doing as per God. They will say, no, what I am doing is nothing wrong with that. It's all good. Those are the sinners category. Hallelujah. And the third class of people are scornful. Who are the scornful? Scornful are those who mock, insult, disdain God and His word. They are the scornful. Are we together? Now, we are looking into what it, first of all, God is speaking to His people and telling and speaking, the Holy Spirit is speaking to His people tonight and saying the first step to godly prosperity is separation. You need to separate. Hallelujah. You need to separate. Some people are thinking the first step to godly prosperity is studying my Bible. You cannot study the Bible and understand it until there is a consecration in your life. Until there is a separation in your life. Hallelujah. God releases His word, His revelation only in certain chosen atmospheres. If you are among sinners, if you are among ungodly people, sitting with them, you will not hear the voice of God, I'm telling you. How much ever you want to read the Bible, read your Bible. You want to go to Bible school? Go to Bible school. You want to do a degree of divination? Go ahead and do the degree of divination, but you will never know God. You will never know the Holy Spirit because you have not understood the first step to godly prosperity is not studying. The second step is studying the Bible after separation, after consecration. That's what Psalm chapter number 1. And that is what Apostle Paul is talking about. So who are the unbelievers? The unbelievers are the ungodly, the sinners, and the scornful. Now, what is unequally yoked? I took a sermon already, I think a year back or more than a year back, on unequally yoked, and I told the basic meaning. But tonight God is giving us a fresh revelation from the scripture of what it means to be unequally yoked. What it means to be unequally yoked, we have already read in Psalm chapter number 1. To be unequally yoked with unbelievers is, write it down, walking in the counsel of the ungodly. First, walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Second is standing in the path of sinners. And third is seating in the seats of the scornful. These three, when you involve yourself in walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the path of the sinners, and seating in the seats of the scornful, you are getting unequally yoked together with unbelievers. All right. What does it mean to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Turn with me to the book of Micah. Let's start off with walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Turn with me to the book of Micah. Chapter number 6 and verse number 14 to 16. Micah chapter number 6, verse number 14 to 16. You shall eat. Now listen to this scripture very carefully. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. You shall eat and but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, but shall not save them. And what you do rescue, I will give over to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread the olives, but not anoint yourself with oil. And make sweet wine, but not drink wine. For the statues of Omri are kept. All the works of Ahab's house are done, and you walk in their counsels. Underline that. That is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And what? You are walking in their counsel. Whose counsel? Omri and Ahab. Now, Omri and Ahab is an ancestral line. Ahab is the son of Omri, for those who know about the book of 1 Kings. So, Omri and Ahab brought about ungodliness in Israel. And what Israel started to do is, they started to walk in their ways, following the pattern of iniquity. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquity. But we have to realize, for our redemption from iniquity, we have to, by our will, detach ourselves from walking in the patterns of our fathers and the forefathers of what they used to do. If your father was a womanizer, I'm telling you, spiritually, that spirit of lust will surely attack you. And it will continue to impact your mind. Impact your mind. And that womanizing spirit, that lust spirit was not in your father. It came from somewhere. And it will force you. It will deceive you. It will have a great hold over you to make you walk in that pattern. That means in that counsel. The way of the ungodly is the pattern of iniquity. That has been transcended from generations to generations. Okay, we are looking at what is the meaning of walking in the counsel of ungodly. So it says you walk in their counsel, that I may make you a desolation and your inhabitants a hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. There is something called as reproach. And reproach comes, what is reproach? Reproach is what verse number 14 and 15 mentions. You are sowing, but you are not reaping. You are treading olives, but the oil you are not able to use to anoint yourself. You are making sweet wine, but you are not able to drink that wine by yourself. You are eating, but your appetite is not satisfied. You are always in want. You are in hunger, how much ever money you get, but you are still in poverty. That is one of the traits, that is one of the symptoms, that there is the evidence of you walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Whatever you are doing is not bringing the fruit. Whatever you are doing is not bringing the increase. Whatever you are doing, it's not bringing any multiplication. Whatever you are doing, others are enjoying, but you yourself cannot enjoy. You need to break from the counsel, walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might have seen prophets saying, oh, you know what? You work, but you don't. There is a hole in the pocket and all those stuff and all those things. You know who speak like that? The sorcerers speak like that. Because I met up with sorcerer when I was somewhere. And the sorcerer came and told, oh, I see you. He was prophesying to me. A sorcerer, who worships idol, there is a hole in your pocket and there is money coming out and all those things and this and that. He started to speak, and sorcerers speak like that. And since you have come to me, I will deliver you. But I am telling you that is not true deliverance. True deliverance is when you understand the root cause from the scripture of what is happening to you. If those are the symptoms that are happening to you, you are eating, but you are not satisfied. There is hunger in you. You are sowing, but you cannot reap. You are planting olives, but you cannot use the an oil to anoint your own self. You see others enjoying of it, but you cannot enjoy it yourself. The reason that is happening is because there is the walking in the counsel of Omri and Ahab. Are we understanding? We are looking at, what does it mean to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? So, first thing I want to tell you, one of the things that will happen when we walk in the counsel of the ungodly is reproach. What is reproach? Reproach is what verse number 14 and 15 says. Now, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter number 16. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 16 and verse number 23 to 33. 1 Kings chapter number 16, verse number 23 to 33. In the 31st year of Asa king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah, and he brought the hill of Samaria and Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built Samaria, after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill. Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him. For he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in the sin by which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. So that is the ungodly. They provoke God by building up altars to foreign gods, by worshipping idols. Verse number 27. Now the rest of the acts of Omri which he did, and the might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab his son reigned in his place. Now you see Omri, Ahab, it's an ancestral iniquity. Omri after Omri, Ahab. And Omri was not a bloodline, a son of Jeroboam, but he walked in the same iniquity of Jeroboam. So he brought ungodliness, that is idol worship, sacrificing to other gods, worshipping other gods, building Baal, building altars to Baal, constructing wooden images, so on and so forth. We will see that in the coming scriptures. So let's see verse number 29, the same chapter. Verse number 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Okay, so he joined himself in marriage with Jezebel, and after getting married to Jezebel, he started to serve Baal and worship Baal. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Okay. Now, that is their counsel. What is their counsel? Their counsel is to worship Baal. Their counsel is to build wooden images to Ashtoreth. Their counsel is to build demonic altars and perform satanic rituals. Hallelujah. And then you might say, brother, that is not happening in the church. That is happening in the church in front of our eyes. That people are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. I saw certain pastors from India started to take a glass of water and give the people the water. And when they drink the water, they start to shake aggressively, fall on the ground, make shapes on the ground. And they say it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, giving them water to drink. What they are doing, the people are made to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. People are made to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Any person that is directly, indirectly, openly, or secretly introducing you to the ways of Baal. The ways of Baal are satanic rituals. The ways of Baal, the altars of Baal are demonic altars. Anyone knowingly, unknowingly introducing you to those things are bringing you to walk in their counsel. To walk in the counsel of the ungodly. To walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And major percentage of Israel were walking in the counsel of Omri. And in the statues of Omri. In the works of Ahab. And God said to Israel, you are walking in their counsel. So there is no fruit. There is no increase. There is no establishment. Because you are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Do we see that? Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter number 21. First Kings chapter number 21. Verse number 25. Let's go. First Kings chapter number 21. Verse number 25. But there was no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it was heard that Ahab, it was when Ahab heard those words, that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. Okay, this is what the Bible is talking about Ahab. There was no one wicked, no wicked king more than Ahab, who did as per the words of his wife Jezebel, and who did wickedness in the sight of the Lord, no one before him, and who abominably followed idols. Those are ungodly people. Those are ungodly people. Any person starting to tell you, any pastor starting to teach you, oh, you know what, you can be there also, you can be here also. You know, any pastor starting to say to you, holiness is not mandatory, holiness is not necessary, God knows that you are a sinner, is making you walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And when you start to walk in those doctrines, when you start to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you have not separated yourself. And what will come upon you is reproach. No prayer of deliverance will help you until you realize the root cause of what is happening to you from the scripture. Are we understanding? Maybe someone who will pray from you through that demons, you will get something temporary. But your problem is not rooted out from the root cause. You will still live in that lack. You will still be unsatisfied. Even after he said, oh, you will go to your home. Next day, you will receive a car. Someone will gift you a car. Even after getting that car, you will be in the same mess. You will be unsatisfied even after receiving that car. Why is that situation in your life? Because you have to search out in your life, research in whose counsel I am walking. Am I knowing God for myself through the scripture, through a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? Or am I walking in the doctrine or in the counsel of some my favorite preacher on the YouTube or on the TV or in the church? Or am I going to the scripture? Some Christians have not opened their Bible. All they are hearing Sunday, you know, those mega churches, especially in the West, they don't open their Bibles. They don't open their Bibles because their pastor is a hero. It's a mega church. It's lighting and the pastor preaches in such a way. And they never open their Bible. In whose counsel they are walking? They are not walking in the counsel of God. They are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. One of the things you can save yourself from walking in the counsel of the ungodly is you have to build a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to build a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need to have revelation. You need to hear from God. Hallelujah. Instead of depending on a preacher Sunday to Sunday basis, instead of depending on a person and only knowing that what he is saying, you have high chances that you will walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly. When Ahab was there, when Omri was there, what happened to Israel? Israel stopped worshipping Jehovah God. Israel stopped teaching the law. The priests were all worshipping Baal. Most of them were worshipping the Baal. Prophets who brought the word of the Lord, they were killed. So the doctrine of God's word was not there. The teaching ministry of the priest was not there. The prophetic ministry of the prophets were not there. Everything was restricted. And that is what the devil is doing with the church. He wants to pull the church, I am telling you, to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So they don't move towards godly prosperity. Are we understanding? Are we together? So that is walking in the counsel of the ungodly. All right, let's go to standing in the path of the sinners. What is standing in the path of the sinners? Does that mean that going in the way of the sinner, just standing there? But what does that mean spiritually? Let me tell you. Standing in the path of the sinners is agreeing with those who make God's truth a lie. Hallelujah. पूजा क्या कर रही है? हाँ, हॉटस्पॉट लगा।
हॉटस्पॉट दे रहा, हॉटस्पॉट लगा दे रहा, मैं रिचार्ज ही है
मेरे में।
रिकॉर्डिंग स्टॉप। He's joining back. There's an electricity
problem. Recording in progress.
What is hallelujah?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What is standing in the path of sinners? Standing in the path of sinners is, write it down, very important. Agreeing with those who make God's truth a lie and a lie the truth. That is standing in the paths of sinners. What I said, who are sinners? Sinners are those who practice things contrary to God's word. And on top of that, they profess that what they are doing is right. Those are sinners. And listen to me. When do you stand in the path of the sinners? You stand in the path of the sinners when you start to agree with such people. No, 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 brother, you are right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever you are doing, you know, God still loves you. The anointing will still be there. You will still go to heaven. You know, though you are going and sleeping around with 2-3 girls, but God, what you are saying is right. When you support the doctrine of demons, you are not doing it. And you think, I am not doing it. But, you know, they are weak people. So what they are doing is right. You are standing in the path of the sinners. You cannot agree with the doctrine of demons. Are we together? Okay, you are not doing it. That's well and good. But even when you agree with that, you give your agreement, you are standing in the path of the sinners. Okay, let me show you what sinners do. What sinners do? Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5. Verse number 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Everything they are reversing. Everything they are turning around. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. These are the sinners. And in a way, they are also mocking God and mocking God's word. These are sinners. There was one lady who came on television and started to say, oh, you know what? I am a woman, but I love women. And Jesus still loves me. And Jesus still loves me. And when I am with my girlfriend, you know, doing physical activities or sexual activities with my girlfriend, you know what she said? I feel the Spirit of God moving in both of us. That is what she said. And there were 2-3 people, very, very, very calm, composed and mature Christians. When they said, well, that is not the word of God. She said, no, if it's there in the word of God or not there in the word of God, that does not matter. All it matters is Jesus is happy with us and we feel the presence of God. Oh my God, that are sinners. That are sinners. Are we understanding? Your children are doing something. Okay, you are not able to. They are of old. They are doing something. Maybe without marriage, they are sleeping with people. Without marriage, they are having a relationship with people. And you cannot stop them. We know. And you cannot stop them, or you can only pray for them. But when you say, oh, what you are doing is right, continue to do it. No one, I will not stop you. You are standing in the path of sinners. When you agree and when you approve such things of darkness from your own will. You are standing in the path of sinners. Are we understanding what is standing in the path of sinners? You are supporting those who call good evil and evil good. Who you are supporting those and agreeing with those who are putting for light for darkness and darkness for light. You are standing in agreement with those. You are supporting their acts. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Those are sinners. Okay, let me take you to a scripture that will show you what does it means to stand in the path of sinners. Romans chapter number 1. And listen to the scriptures. It's very, very profound and powerful what Apostle Paul is writing here. Romans chapter number 1. Verse number 18. Verse number 18 to the last verse 32. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." This is what I define sinners as. Those who know God, those who have tasted God, but they still practice sin. And they suppress the truth of God's word. Then it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." You know, ungodliness is there. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie," exchanging God's truth for a lie. That is called sinners. In that context, in what we are learning tonight, okay? "Exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature." Those are the lesbians. "Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due." That is the doctrine that is coming in the world. The church leader that is the most prominent leader upon the Catholics, the Christians. You know, major percentage of the Christians are Catholics. He is coming and saying that, you know, gays, lesbians, all these things will be allowed in the church. Jesus loves everyone and all those stuff. And when you agree with their doctrines, when you agree with their utterances, with their speakings, what you are doing, you are standing in the path of the sinners. You know what you need to do? You have to call evil, evil, and you have to call good, good. You have to call darkness, darkness, and light, light. Even if it is your husband, your wife, your children, whoever it is, you have to say, "I don't support that. I don't stand with you in that. You want to do, I will pray for you. You are going in, I want to warn you. And if you don't listen to me, I want to pray for you. But I don't stand with you in that." Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Amen. Even your children, okay, you cannot control them because they are of age. You cannot stop them, force them. But you cannot agree with them when they do the things of darkness. When they do the things of darkness, you have to tell them, "I am not in agreement with you in this." Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The presence of God never enters your house, because in your house, lawlessness is practiced. In your house, unrighteousness is practiced. And you are allowing the children, you are allowing your husband, you are allowing relatives to do that. "I will never let anyone come in my house and drink alcohol and watch TV. Get out of my house. This is God's house. Do it in the bar if you want to do it. I cannot stop you from, but I will stop you from doing that in my house. I don't stand with that." One of the ways you approve of things is by keeping quiet. They are drinking alcohol, smoking cigarette. That is your house. Raise up your voice and tell them, "No, get out of my house." You and tell them in a polite way. I mean, telling them, this is God's house. I cannot allow. If you want to do it outside, please. Because and don't say sorry for it. You don't say sorry for speaking the truth. Sorry, but no, don't sugarcoat things. Say it as it is. Why you are? Oh, you know what? You know what, honey? You know what, son? I'm sorry for saying that to you, but you know, you sugarcoat things. No, why you are sorry for saying the truth? Just say, this is my house. This is my premises. You cannot do, you're in my, this is God's house. You know what? Hallelujah. I remember, I want to share a testimony of my life. I remember my grandfather had an addiction to cigarettes. And once he visited our house. And he was not smoking cigarettes, but I was there in some room and I smelled some smoke. When I came in the balcony of the house, I saw him smoking cigarettes. Now, he is my grandfather. How can? But the Holy Spirit was grieved in my heart, the Spirit of God. It's how can that happen? And I told my grandfather, I said, Grandfather, you know what? This is God's house. I pray here. We worship God here. Don't smoke cigarettes here. If you want to do it, go outside and do it. And he never told me anything. You know what? After that, after me telling him that, he quit cigarettes. He stopped stopped smoking cigarettes. And he read his Bible every day, 4 a.m. He came to Christ.
Hello.
I was saying to him that. I'm telling you, don't sugarcoat the gospel. Don't sugarcoat the things of God. You should not stand in the path of sinners. If I would have let him go, no, he's my grandfather. I should not tell him. And he continued to smoke cigarettes. That means by keeping silent, I agreed what he was doing. You should not be silent. You should not be silent. My God, when the maids come to clean my house sometimes and they said, oh, we did this worship, we did that. My mother does not keep quiet. She says, you know what you are doing? You are worshiping Satan and not God. The true God cannot be made with human hands. The true God never demands of such ritual and blood from you. My mother says that when people are speaking, we need to bring the doctrine. That is how we will preach the gospel. When we disagree. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Do not stand in the path of the sinners. Okay, we are on Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Verse number 26. For this reason, God gave them up to wild passions. Okay. We have read that. Verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. I'm telling you, God giving up something to a debased mind. There are types of minds in the Bible. That is the carnal mind, the spiritual mind, the anxious mind, the debased mind. The debased mind is the hopeless mind. There is no hope when you are given up to a debased mind. You start to do things completely contrary to God's word, and there is no hope of coming back. It says God gave them up to debased minds. Why they were given up to debased mind? Because they practiced lawlessness and they said, oh, it is of God. They never confess, no, what we are doing. Some people say, okay, what we are doing is wrong. I cannot control it. Pray for me. Okay, you are honest. You have to stop it, but you are honest. You are not that one who is professing that what you are doing is right. I have seen Christians posting on Instagram and Facebook, all the religious other God, they are going in temple of other gods, and they say, oh, I am worshiping that God, but Jesus still loves me. That is what is going on social media. I am seeing that all around. Churchgoers, Christians, oh, I am doing that in at that altar, performing some ritual, you know, and then but Jesus still loves me. Those are sinners. Okay. Verse number 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, they know it, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those, who practice them. Those who do the things, they are deserving of hell death, but not only those, but also those who approve of such things, who do such things. Are we understanding? Let your yes be yes and no be no. Christians should not be diplomatic. Christians should not be sugarcoating. Christians should be straightforward in a polite way. Okay, you know this is what, and you should not be sorry for speaking the truth. You should never, I am sorry. That means you are taking that you are wrong when you say, I am sorry, but you do, and all those things. Standing in the path of the sinners. Do we see that? Okay, let me take an example from the Bible of standing in the path of the sinners. 1 Kings chapter number 22. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 22 and verse number, let's start from verse number 1. Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. Okay. Now, you know Jehoshaphat, the famous guy in the Bible, who fought the war not with weapons and warriors, but with praise and worship. He was a man who knew God. But one of the things and errors that he did is he went and sat with Ahab, who was an ungodly person, sinner, scornful, and an idolater. It says he went to visit Ahab. And then what he did? It says in verse number 3, and the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, but we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria? So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. That is where I want to define from the scripture of what it means to stand in the path of the sinners. You, like Jehoshaphat, he was a God-fearing man. He knew the precepts of God, the revelation of God. He fought a war with praise and worship. He defeated. But what he was doing it is he was sitting in the seat of the scornful. And then he was standing in the path of the sinner. And then he started to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do we see that here? Hallelujah. And he went to an ungodly sinner, scornful person, and in his interest, he started to say, let us pray together. You cannot pray together, sit together, not forget about praying together, inquiring of the Lord together. You cannot sit together with one who is ungodly, with one who is sinner, with one who is scornful. Let me make this very clear. The Bible talks about that. Instead of your prayer life going up and going to rise with God, when you pray with such people and when you try to mingle with such people, oh, let us inquire of the Lord. I am with you, Ahab, and all those stuff. What happened after that? You know the story. The 400 prophets came and prophesied a lie, and Micaiah, the prophet, came and he said, Ahab, you are going to die and all those stuff. And what happened? Jehoshaphat had to leave the battle and run away. When you start to pray with such people, attach yourself with such people, that is what happens with you. You put your steps and your hand into the wrong battles, which are not of God, but which are created by you and with the person you are praying with. Hallelujah. God will not give you assistance when you are not fighting his battles. He will give you assistance only when you are fighting his battles assigned by him. When you try to fight others' battles, because, oh, I love him, he's my friend, and all those things. God will never even be there in that battle. Are we understanding? And many Christians I see are wasting time by standing in the path of the sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. What they are doing actually, they are fighting other people's battles. They are fighting other people's battles. There are so, you know what? I am honest with you. There are many people who keep on contacting me. Not only the people in this ministry, but people that people share contacts with. You know, I want to pray. I don't get into their battles until the Lord has told me. When I pray first, I ask the Lord. They will bring to me a lot of things. You know what? I am going through a divorce and this and that. I want my husband back and this and that. But I will not get into their bad. Please pray for me. Please be my prayer partner. We want to get... But I don't get into the battle before asking the Lord. Because their battles can be not God's battle. It can be a demonic battle. Are we understanding? Don't stand in the path of the sinners. Don't get yourself into other people's battles. I know a lot of Christians were doing well. But what they did is they got themselves into like Jehoshaphat. He went and got himself into Ahab's battle and said, Ahab, I will go with you in your battle. And I will also support you. I will fight with you. My horsemen, my chariots, they invest their things in their battles. Hallelujah. Amen. Even when you help people, you have to ask God, are you helping a sinner, an ungodly person who will take your money and put it into practices which are of demons? When you are giving your money to them, I'm telling you, it will get wasted. And on top of that, through the financial transaction, your finances will also be affected. One of the church ladies whom I knew, she called me and she told me, brother, you know what? She never gave tithes and offering. I knew that because I know who all gave in India. So she called me and she said, she never gave. And that I want to give tithes and offering. I said, so what? Go ahead and give it. Why you are telling me? But I wanted to ask you a question. Pastor, I said, what do you want to ask? I asked her. So she said, you know, I am going to give, but I am thinking of taking this and giving it to my friend who is in need. So it's the same, right? I said, it's not the same. What did Jesus say? He took the coin of the Roman Empire and he said, whose face is on this? They said, Caesar. He said, okay, then give to Caesar what is due to him and give to God what is due to him. So tithes and offering cannot be compared by helping people or giving there in the government or giving into the politician's fund. Some people think, oh, I am giving into the politician's fund, into the government. That means I am giving to God. You are not giving to God. Giving to God is straightforward, is giving to the kingdom of God, into the priesthood of God, into the ministry. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. But when you do that, the Bible is very clear. Jesus said it. Some Christians, you have to get it right. You think, oh, I'm giving money here, money there, helping those people, and I will not give tithes and offering. You are robbing God. You have to give what is due to God and keep the other interest aside. Don't think that when you are giving to that Christian, this Christian helping that person, that you are giving to God. God is not even involved in that business. You are standing in the path of sinners. I'm telling you, God wants to prosper you. And God is showing you and revealing you the first step to godly prosperity is separation. Is separation. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not stand in the path of the sinners. Are we together? Hallelujah. Okay. Well, we have seen what it means to stand in the path of the sinners. Let's see what it means to sit in the seats of the scornful. This is very important. Even the best of us can be found seating in the seats of the scornful. What is seating in the seats of the scornful? Seating in the seats of the scornful is taking part of the table of the scornful, taking in or spiritually eating what they offer. Taking part of the table of the scornful, taking in or spiritually eating what they offer. I want to show you something from the scripture, from the book of Luke chapter number 22. Listen to me very carefully. Luke chapter number 22. Remember Peter said, oh, Jesus, even if you go and die on the cross, I will be with you. I will die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, you know what? Satan has asked to sift you like a wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Okay, hallelujah. Because Jesus knew something that Peter would do, that would initiate him to deny Jesus and to become like an unbeliever. Okay? And that is found in Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 54. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 54. Having arrested him, that is Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire, who kindled a fire? Those people who were cursing Jesus, accusing Jesus. They kindled a fire. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together at the fire, Peter sat among them. Okay? Everyone say, Peter sat among them. Everyone say that. Peter sat among them.
Peter sat among them.
Sat among them.
He was not seating just with a normal crowd. He was seating with those people who were insulting, criticizing, cursing Jesus. What's wrong with going with such people? What's wrong with hanging around with such people? Well, subconsciously, even without your permission, you are taking in what they speak. You are taking in the utterances of that spirit. You are taking in the impact that their dirty, filthy spirits are creating in that atmosphere. He sat among them who kindled the fire in the courtyard. Until now, Peter was okay. He was following Jesus. He was looking at Jesus. But what he did was, those who were there, you know, cursing Jesus and saying all types of nonsense, he sat with them at the fire. Okay, now what it says after that. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man also was also with him. But he denied, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Now, when you read the parallel scripture in Matthew's, the same story in Matthew's, it says the third time Peter started to curse. Peter started to curse and say, I don't know him. This guy was with Jesus. You know, the fastings you have done, the time you have spent with God can be destroyed in seconds because you go and sit in the seat of the scornful. I know people who celebrate when they are done with 21 day fast, 40 day fast. Oh, I have done 21 days fast. Let me go and drink alcohol now. You destroyed everything. You went and sat with the seat of the scornful. That's why no answers to your prayer. No effect and impact of your fasting. Sitting with the seat of the scornful is sitting with such people. You think, oh, they are speaking, but I am not. I don't agree. But you are taking in what they are speaking. They are taking in. Why you have to go and sit there? Why you have to go and be among them? Why? Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Are we understanding? Let me show you some scriptures now. Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. verse number 1 to 3. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 1 to 3, okay? When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat. If you are a man given to appetite, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do you see that? When you sit down, remember Daniel when he went to Babylon? He was selected to be on the choicest officers of Nebuchadnezzar. And then the delicacies of the king's table were set before him. But he said, I will not eat of it. Daniel's book is the perfect example how a God-fearing, spirit-filled believer can still operate in holiness when they are working in the world's office, in the secular organization. Do we understand that? You can continue doing your job, but you can still be away. You might say, oh brother, but when we go in the office, all of them are unbelievers. Bible is not speaking about that. You can go and do your work. But when they come out to you and say, it's a long weekend, let us go to party, you have to say, my purpose of coming to this office is just working for the organization. I will do that and leave. I will not get involved. When you get involved in those things, you are sitting in the seat of the scornful. Hallelujah. You are eating from that table. You are sitting with them. Are we understanding, people of God? It says, be careful. Be very careful when you sit before a ruler to eat. Especially if you are a man given to appetite, not only physical appetite, spiritual appetite. If you are a person who wants to win the hearts of everyone around you, you know, there are those kind of people wherever they go. They want to be the hero among the new people. They want the new people to know them. If you're that kind of person, you know, extreme extrovert and all those kind of things, be careful. Sometimes if you will, I am teaching you, I am speaking so many things, but if you will find me in the world, in the office, I don't even speak things. You know, they did not give me promotion. And the reason that they gave, I was the one candidate the clients liked and all those, I completely fitted in that promotion. But they did not give. They gave it to someone who was not even worthy of it. And they said, oh, because you don't mingle around with people, you don't speak to people. I said, praise God, I don't want it. If that is the qualification for it. And well, on top of that, it's your company is a demonic company. I fought with the HR and told them. And God allowed me to leave that office after some time. So I will not compromise for that promotion. And the reason, because the demons ruling the leadership of that office did not like me. The dire demons did not like me. Because I don't sit in the seats of the scornful. Hallelujah. Amen. In companies and secular organizations, no longer the measure of your promotion is if you are working faithfully and doing well for the company. They measure on certain other scales, which is not even right. Any which way, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Another scripture, Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 7. Is that the verse? Okay, not that one. Okay, let's go to another scripture, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 13. First Kings chapter number 13. I don't want to go into this one much because it will take a long time. I have already spoken about this unknown prophet in First Kings chapter number 13. Now, it's a very long chapter. Afterwards, you can read it. But this is where Jeroboam, the person who was made king over Israel, made altars, made two golden calves, and started to make Israel to sin. So a man of God came to him from Judah, from the south of Israel, from the south of Israel. And he cried out and prophesied against the altars, that the altars will be destroyed, the altars that he made. So Jeroboam, being angry, stretched out his hand against the man of God. His hand withered. Such was the anointing on the man of God. So then when he saw his hand wither, he said, "Man of God, please pray for me. My hand has withered." So the man of God prayed for him, and his hand was okay. When he saw, then he started to pamper and flatter the man of God, saying, "Man of God, you are a great man of God. Come and eat with me." But the man of God said, "The Lord told me, do not go in the same way you came. Take a different path that is not standing in the path of the sinners." You can read that chapter afterwards. And then secondly, "You shall not eat or sit anywhere that is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, not standing in the path of the sinners, and not seating with the seats of the scornful." Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So he rejected the offer of the king. He said, "I'm going." When he went, on the way there was an old prophet. Old prophet means, you see, all prophets are not in active service with the third heaven, with God. There are some prophets, but they are old prophets. What does that mean? They used to hear from God, but now they are disconnected. There are so many pastors in the US, in the West, in Canada. They are old pastors. Old means not in age. Old pastors means, old prophets means, once upon a time, they used to hear from God, but now they are not. They are disconnected. What they are saying are the things of the flesh. What they are saying are the things of the old. I know a pastor who preaches the same things and teaches the same things. No freshness. The same things that he used to preach 7 years back. The same things are now repeated. Because these guys are not hearing from God. That's why they are not able to utter the utterances of God. They are not able to bring revelation and the teaching, the doctrine of the teaching of the word of God. An old prophet who did not hear from God, but he claimed to hear from God again. And he said, "Man of God, come and eat with me." He sent his son, "Eat with me, stay at my place." But the man of God said, "No, these are what the Lord told me. Don't go in the same way. Don't eat food at anyone's, don't sit or stay at anyone's house." But this prophet, old prophet, told him, "I am also a man of God, and an angel of God told me that you need to bring this man of God to your house." And the man of God said, "Is it? So let me go with him." Remember, anything that comes and attacks what God spoke to you is not of God. Anything that attacks your convictions, the purpose of your mission, the word that came to you because of which you came, because of which you went on the mission, is not from God. I know God told me certain things very strictly, and that is there on the tablet of my heart. I shall not go against it. I shall not go. The Lord told me so strictly. He told me, when I will send you to the nations, for I will send you to the nations, you shall not go and accept anyone's invitation, but you shall go to the people that only I have given you. Because I have created this platform that I have given you, and it is sanctified. And I will minister the power of my spirit through this platform that I have given you. So there are many instructions the Lord gave me. The many instructions the Lord gave me. And if someone comes, "I am also a prophet. God told me this. God told me that." That is a red flag. I will not let anyone attack my conviction. So he told, come, man of God. I am also a prophet. Angel of God told me this. So he went. And he sat with the man. He ate with the man. And the Bible says, when he was eating, the Spirit of God came upon this old prophet, and he prophesied that this prophet shall die. And after that, he got up. He got up. He went his way. And the Bible says he was killed. The Bible says he was killed by a lion. Why he was killed by the lion? Because lion signifies the king of God's altar. And because he violated the laws of God's altar by eating with the altar of the ungodly, of the scornful, that's why he was killed. That's why God told him, don't go in the same way, don't sit anywhere, anyone's house, and don't eat. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, and nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Are we understanding? And then comes, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he will meditate day and night, and whatever he does shall prosper. And then comes the prosperity which comes from God. And God is calling you. I tell godly prosperity because the word prosperity has been corrupted in today's Christianity. So I say godly prosperity. Hallelujah. That comes from God. That comes with any, that comes without any types of attachments and sorrows and curses. That continue, that you will prosper even as your soul prosper. Even as your soul prosper. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. The first step to godly prosperity is separation. And the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do we now understand who are unbelievers? Do we now understand what is unequally yoked? Unequally yoked is walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the path of the sinners, and seating and eating at the seats of the scornful. Hallelujah. I am seeing how easily Christians are impacted by doctrines of other religions. Some Christians have embraced yoga to find peace. Oh, that's okay. Well, you are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Everything is becoming okay. Everything is becoming okay for Christians now. But tonight, God is calling his true children to be consecrated through separation. Hallelujah. So that he can appoint you to bear fruit, and your leaves shall not wither, and you shall be planted by the side of the living waters. Hallelujah. God is calling his children unto prosperity. And God is saying the first step you need to take towards prosperity is separation. Is separation. It says that when Lot and Abraham separated, when Lot separated from Abraham, and somewhere I was listening a podcast, and they said the meaning of the name Lot is veil. So when that person separated from Abraham, the veil was taken away, and God spoke clearly to Abraham. There needs to be, now Lot, if we look at him, he was fine. But the thing is, if you read your Bible, for the journey of Abraham, only Abraham, Sarai, and his household was commanded to take the journey, not Lot. But how Lot came in the journey? Lot came in the journey because the father Terah, the father of Abraham, Terah, included Lot in the journey. So there was someone in the journey that God did not want it to be. God did not appoint that person to be. So God had to separate that person. God is very particular about his journeys, I'm telling you. If you want to walk with the Lord, you have to only walk with people whom God has placed there. You cannot walk with people, oh no, I love that person, so I also want to include him. No, I don't choose people who will walk with me in ministry. God chooses them. And I am not having any favor. No, that person, this person. Because they can restrict your walk, because you cannot move towards prosperity if you are walking with someone whom God has not appointed you with. And in the mighty name of Jesus, God will take out the lots from your life. God will take out the terrors from your life. God will separate you, consecrate you through the power of the word that is released tonight, so that you can walk with the Lord, so that you can hear from the scripture what God is speaking to you. Meditate on the Lord day and night unto prosperity. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Father, oh Rebala Sava Tarava, thank you, Lord. I am telling you, church, I teach the word of God because this is the season where God told me so clearly that the church needs to learn the doctrine of the word in detail. They need to learn the definitions that I want to give them. Because people don't hear from the Holy Spirit. What is unbelief? Unbelief, there you define by yourself. You need to, that's why when I teach sermons, I define every word and tell you this is the meaning. I go into detail because through the teaching of the doctrine of the word of God, the elect can be saved in these days from deception when you study the word of God with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It says Apostle Paul, when he went to Ephesians, for 2 years, he taught the word of God. For 2 years, he taught the word of God. He was teaching the word of God in the school of Tyrannus. In the school of Tyrannus. And after that, a revival broke out there. Oh, Reba Lahata Rabandaraba. Oh, Sakata Baraba. Lord, I pray. Oh, God, I want to thank you. Let your people learn the word of God, the doctrine of the word of God. Let them learn to discern. It says, priests shall know how to teach people to differentiate between the holy and the unholy, between the good and the evil. They shall know to differentiate, because these are the time where the devil is pulling your people to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, to sit in the seat of the scornful, and stand in the path of the sinners. But tonight, we are, Lord, let your people be blessed, because they are not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, and not sit in the seat of the scornful. In the name of Jesus, but let that delight be in the law of the Lord. Let them be separated. Let them take decision. Let them take be bold, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let them be bold speakers of the word of truth, of the word of God. Let them stand, Lord, for the word of truth, Lord. Let them not, oh, Rabba Sakata Rabba, even as the media and even churches are trying to silence the voice of truth. Many pastors, oh, we should not speak like that. We should support everyone. We should love. Those are demonic voices that is trying to silence the voices of Daniel, the voices of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, they were straightforward. Daniel said, I will not eat. I will not eat means I will not eat. Oh, Rabbi, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were straightforward. They were not even sorry for what they were saying. Father, in Jesus' name, let us be bold speakers of the word of truth, Lord. Let us stand for your kingdom. And when we do so, Lord, we know that heaven delights in us, O Lord. Oh, you delight in us, Lord. Let us not only be studying, but let us be bold speakers. Oh, you don't have to be having a pulpit to preach. You can preach the word, the truth. Oh, when people say good is evil, you have to say, no, no, no. Evil is evil. Good is good. Light is light. Darkness is darkness. You cannot mix them. You cannot swipe them. Oh, God is calling you. It says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Oh, Rabba Sataraba. And that is the Noah who built the ark and God preserved him. You are a preacher of righteousness, God is telling you. Oh, Rabba Sataraba. And you have to build the ark because when the flood of deception will come, God will preserve you. It will destroy others, but it will not destroy you. When you preach righteousness, when you preach righteousness, hallelujah. Let the word of God dwell in us richly. Oh, let us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the word of God, the love of Christ, take deep roots. Not the love that is mixed, but the love, the pure love of Christ that does not cause evil good and good evil. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, this word, let this word release wisdom in the life of parents, in the life of wives, husbands, servants of God, children, Lord, to make discernment, Lord. Even sometimes it is our own family members, but we have to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. Nor in the path of the sinners, and nor sit in the seats of the scornful. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am telling you, most of the people are trying to keep the family together by loving them, listening to them, doing what they are saying. I am telling you, your family will be still be shattered. You will be able to keep your family together when you are connected with Christ and when you stand on his word and you don't please anyone. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful time once again, Lord. Hallelujah. We cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name, we ask this prayer. And we say, Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.